Leprous albino. See a student of alchemy. Take a secret draught of the elixir of life. Visit Count Dracula on Walpurgisnacht. Follow Harry Houdini as he is kidnapped and trapped within the secret horrors of the Egyptian pyramids. Whether it's the terror of a pit in a pendulum, a spectral headless horseman, or midnight grave robbers, there is something here for everyone who wants to hear a classic scary story when the lights are down low. Classic Scary Tales is available now at www.thebestaudiobooks.com. Don't miss this introductory low price on an incredible value you're sure to treasure year after year. Today's story, The Furnished Room, is generally considered O. Henry's best horror story. His command of language is extensively demonstrated, generating a wonderful atmosphere. Stephen Leacock called this story probably the darkest O. Henry ever wrote and the best of his work. It appeared in O. Henry's collection of short stories, The 4 Million, but was first published in the August 14, 1904 issue of the New York Sunday World magazine. And now, The Furnished Room by O. Henry. The Furnished Room by O. Henry. Restless, shifting, fugacious as time itself, is a certain vast bulk of the population of the Red Brick District on the Lower West Side. Homeless, they have 100 homes. They flit from furnished room to furnished room. Transients forever. Transients in abode, transients in heart and mind. They sing Home Sweet Home in ragtime. They carry their lares et penates in a bandbox. Their vine is entwined about a picture hat. A rubber plant is their fig tree. Hence the houses of this district, having had 1,000 dwellers, should have 1,000 tales to tell. Mostly dull ones, no doubt. But it would be strange if there could not be found a ghost or two in the wake of all these vagrant guests. One evening, after dark, a young man prowled among these crumbling red mansions, ringing their bells. At the 12th, he rested his lean hand baggage upon the step and wiped the dust from his hatband and forehead. The bell sounded faint and far away in some remote, hollow depths. To the door of this, the 12th house, whose bell he had rung, came a housekeeper who made him think of an unwholesome, surfeited worm that had eaten its nut to a hollow shell and now sought to fill the vacancy with edible lodgers.
"Come in," said the housekeeper. Her voice came from her throat. Her throat seemed lined with fur. "I have the 3rd floor back, vacant since a week back. Should you wish to look at it?"
The young man followed her up the stairs. A faint light from no particular source mitigated the shadows of the halls. They trod noiselessly upon a stair carpet that its own loom would have forsworn. It seemed to have become vegetable, to have degenerated in that rank, sunless air to a lush lichen or spreading moss that grew in patches to the staircase and was viscid under the foot like organic matter. At each turn of the stairs were vacant niches in the wall. Perhaps plants had once been set within them. If so, they had died in that foul and tainted air. It may be that statues of the saints had stood there, but it was not difficult to conceive that imps and devils had dragged them forth in the darkness and down to the unholy depths of some furnished pit below.
"This is the room," said the housekeeper through her furry throat. "It's a nice room. It ain't often vacant. I had some most elegant people in it last summer, no trouble at all. And paid in advance to the minute. The water's at the end of the hall. Sprowls and Mooney kept it 3 months. They done a vaudeville sketch. Miss Bretta Sprowls, you may have heard of her. Oh, that was just the stage names. Right there over the dresser is where the marriage certificate hung, framed. The gas is here, and you see there is plenty of closet room. It's a room everybody likes. It never stays idle long."